Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 25 of season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to finish off week 5 of this podcast, or this season, is Brett Stillo, formerly of 5 Minutes of Bonsai and 5 Minutes of Trouble. Welcome
Thanks
back.
For having me. Thank you. Thanks for having me back. As usual, these weeks fly by. Like, wasn't it just Monday? Well, 4 days ago. But yeah.
Yes.
We talked
about yesterday that 3 days is a long time to wait to tell someone something. So you know, it's now been 4 days. So
this is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are, Friday, minute 25, and my time here is almost done.
This season, you'll hopefully be back next season. So, you know, you'll have more things to talk about. We'll go back to airports.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
There we go. More airports.
Airports, airplanes, things like that. Who knows? So, episode 25 begins with Sally showing that she's okay and ends with Marie having yet another brilliant idea. So yesterday we ended things off. We've now been transported to 1987. Sally is having a meal with her two good friends, Marie and Alice. And she ends up blurting out the fact that she and Joe are no longer together. Just to remind everyone, Joe was her boyfriend who she was saying goodbye to at the airport in 1982. So the relationship lasted 5 years. That's very good for them that they were able to do that, you know. And then we have the conversation between Marie and Alice, because Marie basically said a few inappropriate things when she heard that Joe and Sally have broken up. I mean, her first comment is Joe's available. So, and then Alice said to her, "Oh, for God's sakes, Marie, don't you have any feelings about this? She's obviously upset." And Sally interjects and goes, "I'm not that upset. We've been growing apart for quite a while," which to me sounds as if she's, you know, trying to convince herself of this. I don't think it.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound too genuine when she's saying that. And then the response was, "But you guys were a couple. You had someone to go places with. You had a date on national holidays."
Like Groundhog Day.
Like yesterday. That was, yeah, you're right. You're right. Do you know how many national holidays there are in America a year?
National holidays. That means they are recognized by our central government, correct?
Yes.
So, for example, I don't think Valentine's Day is recognized as a national holiday.
Okay.
I that's what I assume. So I'm going to say 14.
And you're very close. You're definitely very close on that one. And you know what? We're to keep people in suspense because I want to go into something else for a second about national holidays. What country country do you think has most national holiday days in a year?
This is another one of those. I think I have read this or heard this kind of you. Your questions are just have that twist of like, you know, I knew this at one time. I'm just glad this isn't for, you know, like $25,000 in a trip to Bermuda.
Sorry, I don't have either to give you.
That's okay. I'm gonna say England. That's just an educated guess. Though I have a feeling it's not England. But I'm going to stick with England.
So the answer is actually Nepal. Nepal has 36 public holidays in a year. Yes.
Nice.
India ranks number 2 with 21. Colombia and the Philippines each have 18. China and Hong Kong have 17. Okay. And the U.S., how much did you say? You said 14, right?
I said 14, yeah.
Okay, so the U.S. actually comes in a little bit lower than that at 11.
11, okay.
11. So in the U.S., the legal federal holidays are New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Juneteenth, National Independence Day, which is the most recent one that was added to the list just in 2021. You have Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day.
Yep.
Which of these? Okay, there were four that were the original holidays that were created as holiday, you know, days off in 1870. Mm-hmm. What do you think of those? What do you think are the four?
Okay, let's see here. I know I get
in 1870.
1870. I was going to say Christmas, New Year's, Independence Day. Oh, and I'm going to say George Washington's birthday.
You got three out of four.
Those
you
would
got
be the
three four. Out of four. You were correct on New Year's, Independence Day, and Christmas Day. Washington's birthday only became a national holiday in 1879. It was 9 years later, but the fourth one that was a national holiday in 1870 was Thanksgiving Day. Okay. Yes.
Really?
Which is very interesting due to the fact that FDR was the one who made it a day where, you know, he set when Thanksgiving was. So, you know, I find that a little interesting. In 1888, they added, Decoration Day, which is now known as Memorial Day. Okay. In 1894, they added Labor Day. In 1938, they added Armistice Day, which was the honored the end of World War One. It was renamed Veterans Day in 1954 to also honor those who fought in World War II and Korea. Okay. In 1968, they added Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which gave several days floating dates so that they, you know, they always will fall on a Monday. Okay, meaning you have the long weekend.
Okay.
And also established Columbus Day. In 1983, Reagan added Martin Luther King Jr. Day into law, and it was only celebrated by all 50 states in the year 2000. It took 17 years for that to become a national or federal holiday in every single one of the states.
Arizona.
Yes.
But
and on June 17th, 2021, Joe Biden added Juneteenth as a federal holiday, which was commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. So yeah, that is a fun tidbit about. So apparently Marie is upset that Sally will not have a date for the, I guess, 10 U.S. federal holidays at the time, because Juneteenth was the only one that wasn't there yet in 1987. So, you know, 10 days where she can go out with Joe, and, you know, Marie has to find someone else to go out with. I don't know.
Well, you don't want to be able to go to the Columbus Day Parade alone.
Yes.
That's
probably don't want to go to the Columbus Day Parade, period.
Period.
I don't think it matters if you go, I don't matter.
No.
Think it matters if you go alone or with somebody else.
Yeah, that's one you want to miss. But I got to go back just for a minute. And like, yeah, Thanksgiving. I like you. I thought that was, you know, because of Franklin Roosevelt. I thought it was a national holiday much later. But anyway,
right. I knew that. I mean, we discussed this at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when my good friend Travis Bowe was on. We talked about the history of Thanksgiving, and I remember from when we talked about this that Thanksgiving was enacted by Lincoln. That I remembered.
Okay.
And I remember that it was something, because it was something that was celebrated on and off beforehand. But apparently it was.
Okay, you know? Well, I got to let it
and,
go.
And I'm trying to remember what FDR did to change it. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know, FDR.
Yeah.
FDR. Yeah. I think FDR just made it a, you know, that I think beforehand, not everyone celebrated it. And,
yeah,
you know, in with, you know, then FDR made it something that everybody recognized.
And I think also just saying, okay, it will always be the last Thursday in November. Deal with it. In an FDR voice. It's the last Thursday in November. Right. Deal with it. So anyway.
Right. But it's also, it's not like it's the, you know, the way election day works. It's the first Tuesday after the first Monday.
Yeah.
You know, that
type of thing. Yeah. True that. There's like, you know, which sound now, and now we're getting into Harry territory with that's, it gets into sort of like the Harry's level of double talk of, well, that you can't have that. Now, if you're dating, right. Anyway, we minute 22, but I think we can also tie it back to it's, you know, this movie is, not just a love letter to New York. It's seasonal. It's, you know, it's autumn and winter. So, you know, the holidays do figure into this movie. And it sort of looks like it could be like around Thanksgiving time from the color of those trees, thanks to Mr. Barry Sonnenfeld.
It is very possible. I would say it's actually a little earlier. I would say that this is probably like late September, October. That would be my guess. But, you know, because it doesn't look like it's starting to get cold yet. But apparently on the commentary, they mentioned that it was freezing the day that they filmed the scene.
Interesting.
You know, so.
Interesting.
So maybe they filmed it in November, but, you know, it was taking place some other time. I don't know. That I don't know. And then the conversation continues, and Sally is trying to make herself feel better. She says, I said to myself, you deserve more than this. You're 31 years old, and the clock is ticking. And then the response she gets is, no. The clock doesn't really start to tick until you're 36. So, I mean, it's interesting why, you know, where that comes from. The idea of, you know, when your clock starts ticking, you know, for a woman. I didn't go into to research about this, so don't worry about that. I'm not going to ask you who was the first person to say, you know, that I don't know. And then Alice has such a strange response. She goes, God, you're in great shape. You know, which could sound like a come on line. But she's talking mentally here, obviously. You know, she's saying that you sound as if you've really gotten over this. And then Sally responds by saying, well, I've had a few days to get used to it and I feel okay. And Marie then jumps into action and goes, good, then you're ready. And what does she do after she says that? She reaches into her bag and pulls out a Rolodex. She is, I'm assuming, have you seen Fiddler on the Roof? She's Yenta the matchmaker. You know, that's what she's doing here.
Yeah, she's a Yenta. That's a good compare. Yeah, she's a good comparison. Or that is a good comparison. Also just, you know, the quaintness of the Rolodex. The only thing that would have made it better is if it was one of those, you know, metal desk Rolodexes that have the, you know, the clamshell door, you know, sort of looks like a cannon's going to come out, but still the joke of, you know, have, you know, which I wonder if that's, it's gotta be funnier now for people to just see, like, you know,
right. Well, as I mentioned earlier this week, the, you know, the point in the commentary where they talk about the iPhone is when she pulls out the Rolodex. So they said, so, because Rob Reiner then says, well, nowadays I would just have used my iPhone, you know, with a list of names of people to fix up. You know, it wouldn't be a Rolodex like she does there. But it's just great thing. You know, this is a woman who is stuck in a very bad relationship with someone who is not going to leave his wife at any point. And we even know that already. But she's still lugging around a Rolodex of names of people that she knows that she can try and fix up others with. So it's very strange, but, you know, maybe it's commendable. Maybe she's still trying to help others. You know, she thinks that she's in a safe place and she'll help others. So Rolodex, when do you think the Rolodex was invented?
Oh, wow. I'll bet you that is a 19th century device. I'm trying to think if I've ever been to a museum and I've seen, you know, the 19th century version of what I was trying to describe. But yeah, that would be my guess. You know, some some Victorian era industrial age device, and I can't wait to hear.
Nope, it was actually invented in 1956.
Really?
By a Danish engineer named Hildauer Nielsen, who was the chief engineer of a company called Zephyr American, which was a stationary manufacturer in New York. Some people think that his boss is the person who's credited with actually inventing it, a man named Arnold Neustadler. They began marketing it in 1958, and they had a previous design called a Wheeldex.
love it.
Yeah. And this company, it's great. I was reading about the other things this company created. They had an Autodex, which is a spring-operated phone directory that automatically opened to a selected letter. I actually remember that either my parents or my grandparents had one of those where you push on the button of the letter and it just like flips you through to the phone directory. They also created the Swivodex, which was an inkwell that didn't spill. The Punchodex, which was a paper hole puncher, and the Clipodex, which was an office aid that was attached to a stenographer's knee. So they did some great stuff here. You know, just for people who aren't familiar with what a Rolodex is a rotating card file device used to store business contact information. The name is a portmanteau of the words rolling and index. It's now been genericized for any type of personal organizer, because the one she takes out is not one that swings around. It's not it's not circular. It doesn't rotate, but yeah. it's still a file holder. I would still call it a Rolodex for what it is.
Yeah, this is still Frigidaire,
Yeah, most people use it for
yeah,
right. We use it for like business contacts and things like that, but apparently Marie has other uses for it. and it's just really funny, I mean, Sally literally just broke up 3 years ago, and she's already ready to try and fix her up with somebody else.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
So right. You think that's a good friend or that's an inconsiderate friend?
I think it's a very good friend. I think it's a very New York friend, who's, just a slight personal experience. It's the whole myth of the rude New Yorker, and it's like I found my encounters with New Yorkers. No, they're not rude. They're very like spur of the moment. Let's take charge of this. There's no time to dawdle. Let's get on this. So I think Marie's just like, let's get rolling. Let's get you back in the game. So and who knows, maybe on a certain level she didn't like Joe or something. But yeah,
because she was happy that he's now single.
Maybe she
didn't like him for Sally because she wanted him for herself. But
could be.
But
yeah.
Based on what we know of her, she would have taken him, even if he was even if he was together with Sally.
Yeah. So I think it's a genuine, sincere like help out a buddy.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough. So she takes out this Rolodex and starts flipping through it, and Marie basically just says, "Well, what else do you think you're gonna do?" And then she goes, "I've got the perfect guy. I don't happen to find him attractive, but you might." And then she turns to Alice and goes, "She doesn't have a problem with chins." And Sally goes, "Marie, I'm not ready yet." And Marie goes, "But you just said you were over him." "I am over him, but I'm in a mourning period." It's interesting that she would say that, that she's in a mourning period based on, breaking up with him because they were already moving apart. Okay. But then she turns to Marie and goes, "Okay, who is it?" She goes, "Alex Anderson." And the reaction that Meg Ryan gives here is classic. She goes, "Ugh, you fixed me up with him 6 years ago." Sorry. And then they all start laughing. And God. All right. Wait here. Here we go. And then she pulls out another one and goes, Ken Darman. And we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out what happens with this idea of Ken Darman.
The Ken Darman,
But
yeah.
But it still works.
Oh yeah. And I just what was Alex's last name? Anderson?
Anderson.
Yeah,
Anderson.
I mean the there's also a joke there that like he's the A's.
That's right. Correct. You
but
know,
yeah, I
and
did.
also back to the alliteration, you know, we have another superhero, Marie.
Alex would be much better for Helen than Ira.
Yes, that's right.
Ira Iverson, I don't know, but
But again, maybe Helen doesn't like guys. Maybe she has a doesn't have a thing for chins, you know. I don't know.
quite possible, quite possible. But yeah, I did wonder who Ken Darmond might be, but save that for another time. Lots of good dialogue here. What did in the original script, were there many variations, or is it pretty much as we see it in the on screen?
All right, so you have nothing else you want to
I
talk
think
about
I'm
for this
good.
minute?
I think I've made my peace with
Okay.
Alex Anderson. I'm ready to move on.
Okay, so the dialogue is almost exactly the same. There's very little differences here. The only discrepancy is when Marie says, "I've got the perfect guy." So Alice says to her, "So you go out with him." And Marie goes, "I've got someone." And then Alice goes, "You've got someone else also has."
Yep.
So it's a great jab at Marie, but I guess they figured that they didn't need it.
Yeah. I kind of
So
yeah. It does. It's it. That's interesting. It does kind of change the trajectory of the dialogue. It's sort of like it's a little too much back to Marie when it's just one or two lines. But yeah, that's this. It's very. The final product is very snappy.
yes, very good. And that's all I have to say about this minute script. Every Friday we have a segment called Weekend Romance, where my guests will give their top five favorite rom-coms. So, Brett, what have you got for us?
My romantic comedies are going back to the originals, the movies that inspired this movie. The screwball,
The
yeah, because they're
screwball
also
comedies.
known as screwball comedies. A quick question for you. Would you think, could this also be described as a screwball comedy? There's not a lot of physical humor. No. Okay.
No,
There's
I
two
don't think
quirky
so.
characters,
I don't
but
think so.
that's it. But yeah, I like the old original 1930s. Yeah, the screwball comedies. Yeah, I feel like people were falling in love until the Pearl Harbor attacked, and then that's it for me. It's over after that. So,
Okay,
so
that's
my
fair too.
list,
That's okay.
Would be, and we're talking about, the masters of the craft, Ernest Lubitsch, Howard Hawks, Preston Sturges. So my top five, and it's kind of tough, five would be the legendary Philadelphia Story. And then moving right along, Preston Sturges, The Palm Beach Story with Claudette Colbert and Joel McRae, His Girl Friday, Howard Hawks, and then another Howard Hawks, number two, Ball of Fire with Gary Cooper and Barbara Stanwyck, and just
Ooh,
oh yeah,
I've
there's
seen all of these. Wow.
yeah,
I'm
no, I mean
surprised.
they're just yeah, meat and potato, they're inspired people like Carl Reiner, but yeah, on the top of that list, it's just a person. Oh yeah,
Rob
sorry.
Reiner, Rob Reiner.
Rob, well, they both loved movies, but yeah, you're Rob Reiner. Sorry. And then on the top of it's a personal choice. The Lady Eve with Barbara Stanwyck and Henry Fonda. It's Preston Sturges.
Ooh.
Ever seen that one? Okay.
Yes, I have, and I think I loved it more because of Henry Fonda in it. Because Henry Fonda is not someone that you would think would fit in well in a romantic comedy slash screwball comedy. And he just did an
Yeah,
amazing job of
he's
it.
kind of playing against type because he's a sort of a nerdy. He's a herpetologist, but and you know, I can't remember one thing. I think that's maybe one of the very few movies where Barbara Stanwyck doesn't cry. I'm a big Barbara Stanwyck fan. I feel like it's inner contract. I got to do a scene where I cry. That's what I do.
It's possible.
It's possible. So I think she does cry a little bit in that one, but it's Barbara Stanwyck. That's what you expect from her. So yeah, I'll honorable mention to more modern stuff. Big Breakfast at Tiffany's fan, 1970s. What's Up, Doc? With Ryan O'Neal and Barbara Streisand. We talked about the name Barbara yesterday. And yeah, you know, but I feel like you know, maybe to wrap it up, Harry Met Sally. It's in a lot of ways an homage to a classic screwball or romantic comedy, but it's also, I think, an update. It has a lot of modern touches. You have very modern characters, but I think it's also kind of the iconic the beginning of all these modern comedies that followed it. I think it's really the one that it's a, maybe we could say it's a bit of a game changer. It sort of redefined, you know, what we now commonly call, popularly call the rom-com.
Yes. Yeah, I think that part of it is that people got a jump with Annie Hall, and then it took, 11, 12 years before they really got into this movie. I think that's part of what happened there.
Exactly.
You know,
Yeah.
you can
Yeah. I don't
see
know
a
if you've
lot
caught.
of connections between this movie and Annie Hall.
Absolutely.
I like this one better. But even though I love Annie Hall, I think it's great. The characters are great. But my biggest problem that I've always had with Woody Allen is he's really funny, but he isn't always the best person to be playing the roles that he gives himself. And that sort of takes it away from things at that point. You
Yeah.
know, I mean,
It's
again, we've
pretty, yeah.
talked about the fact that Billy Crystal isn't necessarily your first choice for a romantic lead also, but he's a much better one than Woody Allen, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think, you know, also, you know, I think you can definitely see the Woody Allen influence on Rob Reiner
Oh, for
here, but I
sure.
think, yeah. And I don't think Rob Reiner would, you know, argue the point, but I think that he wants a just a sweeter story. You know, he sort of wants it to be a little more of a fairy tale. You know, Woody Allen movies, even when they do have a happy ending, you know, there's an edge to it. There's a bristle. You know, there's a little bit of sandpaper here and there. And yeah, it's interesting to compare Annie Hall, but I think this is just a much sweeter and gentler story. It kind of goes down easier.
Right. I agree. All right. So, Brett, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
I can do that. I can do that. You can find me out there in internet land. If you like these podcasts where we talk about movies 1 minute at a time, you won't like mine because I did two where we did 5 minutes at a time. Crazy. I did 5 minutes of Trouble and 5 minutes of Bonsai, both still out there with my good friend and partner, Mr. Josh Horowitz. We chose the Weekly Digest version. So something to do on a Saturday while you're making break eggs. Eggs? And yeah. So Rob, thanks for having me on the
I
show.
appreciate it. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad we were able to find some time for you to be back here.
It has been a
And
blast.
hopefully you'll be available next season,
Love to.
to come back and once again talk about blasts and airports and planes and things like that. So, that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Whatever movie you're talking about, I don't know. It's a Charlie Brown Christmas, perhaps. I don't know. But
Oh, well,
thanks.
come on. I've already let the cat out of the bag that my next season will hopefully be Die Hard 2. So, there you
I'm down. I'm down.
go.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thanks again.
Right.
And
I appreciate that. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to also give a shout out to the whole Movies by Minute community. The both Brett and I are part of a community of crazy people who watch movies and dissect them in some format that is, truncated. Some of us do it by minutes. Some do it like Brett and Josh did, 5 minutes. Some people do scenes, but we all have our ways of doing it. And you can go to moviesbyminute.com to see what movies have been done. And as Jim O'Kane, our William Wyler of hosts, had always says, you can go there, listen to your favorite movie, and if you see that your favorite movie isn't listed there, you can go and create your own podcast. And I found so many fine people in this community who are willing to help out when needed by guesting and giving advice and things like that. So, it's something that's relatively simple to do if you have the time and inclination. Just get out there and start it. All right, and I will be back on Monday with a new guest. Once again, I want to thank Brett for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.
And until Monday, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.